From coffee, tea, chocolate, and rice to candles, gifts, and clothing, they're the kind of products offered by stores and organizations part of the Fair Trade Movement, a global push to give farmers and local producers their fair share of the prices of the items we buy. More and more fair trade conscious shops have popped up in big cities and towns across the globe, but still, fair trade has not become a common household term. Well, I sat down with the justice and peace promoters for the Dominican Order, Sister Toni Harris, and for the Marist Fathers, Father Paul Frechette, to talk about why fair trade should matter to any of us. But first, I asked Sister Toni how she explains fair trade to those curious to know more about it.
Fair trade is a term that's become fairly more well-known, I think, since the late 80s. And it describes an effort to assure that the people who produce goods are given a fair price for their goods and some kind of a stable price for their goods. For example, people who produce coffee are often victims of the market that can be controlled by forces far removed from their countries. But fair trade organizations and fair trade systems have tried to create connections between local producers and ways of distributing their products so that they are not the ones who in the cycle of distribution are the people who actually receive the least for the product. So whether it's actual products like coffee and tea, which are some of the more popular, or even products that are more craft or artisan kind of products, textile products, the effort is to move the product right to the point of distribution or sale and remove some of the steps in between that both take away from the producer and also basically, as I said, because of the market, make the prices that they might get for their products more unstable.
Right. Well, many of the fair trade products that we see in some of the small shops and so on here in Rome are coming from Africa, they're coming from Asia, they're coming from South America. What sort of products are these that we're seeing? You said artisan products, coffee, tea, but what might be some other products?
Well, there'd be chocolate, cocoa, like from Ghana, from Africa. There'd be tea from India, there's honey, there's juices, there's wines. And these prices with these items I just mentioned are pretty comparative. The prices have been coming down a little bit. But where the fair trade products are not comparative would be in jams and jellies. The multinationals still have a
monopoly on that.
Yes.
But I was going to ask you, you know, many people do look at the fair trade products almost as a luxury product, and they say, oh boy, these prices are a little bit out of my range. I mean, is that always the case, though?
Yes and no. Yes, with the jams and jellies, but with the coffees and teas, the prices have become a bit comparative now. So much so that even people like Nestle's and Starbucks coffee are doing maybe 10% of their coffee from the fair trade industry. And we'd like to see that go up.
Mm. You know. Hmm. In these times of global economic crisis, why should I be willing to pay a bit more? Why should I want to pay more?
Well, I think as a commitment to solidarity in the world, particularly those of us who are in the Christian faith tradition with some belief that the other people in the world are, in fact, our sisters and brothers, our decisions about the food we eat, the clothes we wear, all of the things we purchase, we know more and more have an impact on the wider global community. So what we've pointed out is that a lot of times religious communities or families designate some of their family income, even in hard times, for charity. And we could encourage people and encourage organizations to see the little extra they might have to pay for some of these products as part of that portion of their income that they're willing to spend for charity or for other kinds of activities that they might contribute to. So it's a little bit more, but it has implications, I think, not only fair trade, but even the stores and the markets that we purchase other things from. You know, those decisions are increasingly more significant for producers everywhere.
Now, I know that you are encouraging other religious orders, especially here in Rome, to participate.
We're saying this is an option. Many of our houses have a 5% budget item for charity, and we're suggesting that this is a good option for charity.
Why is it important that these big religious communities participate in a project like this?
It's important that religious communities, religious houses, consider this as a possible option because there are, in many of these houses, large communities, and so there are a lot of large purchases that someone's benefiting from. So if communities are able to redirect even a portion of their purchasing power, their economic power, to support fair trade, it could have a big impact. And hopefully this might become a permanent change for communities in terms of the way they purchase some products. And as Father Paul mentioned, there are food products, but religious communities also have jubilees and special celebrations, and considering getting fair trade craft or art pieces for those kinds of events is another way to support the other part of fair trade products.
And then just to build on that, religious do have economic power. I think we maybe take it for granted. But when you look at our ministries, even looking out into the world, our ministries of schools and parishes and hospitals, these are other opportunities. But that's if the leadership accepts the idea and gives the witness value as well. Huh?
So in other words, it's putting your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly. And we just heard this one diocese in Ireland. I want to make sure I pronounce it right. Arda and Clonmacnoise just made the decision to become fair trade, the whole diocese. So there you've got parishes and schools. Also, Cadbury Daily Milk, which is
biggest chocolate producer in Ireland.
In Ireland, and the favorite chocolate bar in Ireland. So it's,
and the UK.
And the UK as well.
All of the UK.
Yes, yes. And they have decided to go fair trade, particularly with the farmers in Ghana, because the cocoa beans there are some of the best tasting in the world. So it's a good deal all around for them. But it's going to be a tremendous effect for the farmers in Ghana.
So you're saying that actually businesses themselves can get involved in fair trade.
Exactly.
What kind of a difference does this make to the farmer on the ground, the farmer in Africa, the producer in South America?
Well, I think that the press release that came out connected with Cadbury's decision to move to fair trade chocolate, the closing paragraph, if I can share that, it says Cadbury will also be sourcing cocoa from Kwapaku Koku, one of the first cooperative groups to be fair trade certified, with over 40,000 registered cocoa farmers from across Ghana. Although they are currently only selling 3% of their cocoa as fair trade, they have been able to implement community projects like building primary school classrooms, constructing wells, investing in corn mills. Now that Kwapaku Koku will have the opportunity to sell cocoa to Cadbury on fair trade terms, this will increase their fair trade premiums and therefore the range of farmer support and community development programs they can implement. So this kind of guaranteed stable income in a small community has very significant impact for the quality of life for the people there, as related to schools, clinics, wells, you know, just basic necessities that people have.
What does fair trade mean to the big mass producers and the protectionist policies of countries around the world that say, you know, I want to put a limit to all the cocoa that's coming from one country or the rice that's coming or the wheat because I've got my own quotas within my own country? How does fair trade affect all that?
Well, one way of looking at it is, I'll tell this through a story. There was a Franciscan friar in Ireland who organized a group of about 10 people in the business world, in the education world. It was in a town. And they studied the issue of fair trade and saw that there's benefit to it all around. And over a year, they met and they approached the supermarkets saying that we will buy this item if you stock it. And so it became mainstreamed. Now, here in Rome, these shops are on side streets, and it'll take quite a while, I think, to get it mainstreamed at the supermarket. But in Ireland, it happened. And children began encouraging their parents to buy this type of cereal or this type of chocolate bar.
And I've been to the Holy Land, where I've met Christian farmers who've formed a cooperative, and the local parish priest in a little town called Taibe convinced in France a whole chain of supermarkets to buy their olive oil as part of this fair trade agreement, and people are buying it.
Interesting, one of the fair trade shops here in Rome is in the parish center of the parish of Transfigurazione in Monteverde Nuova. The parish staff there values this, and so it's right on church property. You go to Mass, and then afterwards, you can get your coffee or tea or chocolate for the week. And there are young adults that are running the shop. Some of them have been to Ghana to visit some of these sites.
So it sounds like it's an initiative that even local parishes can adopt.
Exactly.
One last question. Is there any way that fair trade could affect relations between countries on a global level? Is it such a small initiative that it can't really make a difference?
Well, one of the things that I think about in relation to a question like that is that if, in fact, economic markets are more stable for people in countries that we call developing, whether that's fair term or not, but developing countries where people are struggling to basically feed themselves and take care of their families. One of the effects, I think, that eases some tensions is that I believe that most people really want to stay in their countries of origin and work and live and raise their families. They want to be where their roots are, where their families are, where their cultures are respected and active. And if
so, you're saying that it will affect immigration.
It could
eventually
affect immigration if people, in fact, as we were reading about these folks in Ghana now who can actually work and have some kind of stable income. Those are implications, I think, for stabilizing economies in the world and reducing some of the tension that the mass movement for immigration or people who basically want to feed themselves and their families, and so they go looking for a better life, like many of our ancestors did as well.
And a very warm thanks there to Dominican Sister Toni Harris and Marist Father Paul Frechette.